What's up? Wow, Andy. Wow, really?
The most lackadaisical point ever. You came up from down here. When was it? When did you start pointing? When it came up, or just you came from down here, low hip? That was it was not fast.
Yeah, it was slow. Not.
Man, I'll tell you what. I've seen some bad points in my day, but Lord, jeez. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
This outfit, you look stunning.
Oh, thank you.
I like this one a lot. Is this a new one? Have I not seen? I don't know this. I like the monochromatic look, and then your hair pops.
Yeah, the red. I almost wore a pink belt, but I thought it might be too much. I've actually had this shirt in my closet for about a year and haven't quite figured out how to wear it. And it's raining here in San Francisco today. So I was like, you know, I need something a little bit warmer. So I just layered a shirt with a dress, and
smart,
here we are.
Smart. Look at that. Yeah. There it is. That's how it happened. A glimpse inside. You know what
I mean? Also looking very sharp today.
Thank you. Yeah, this shirt's made its debut before, but never without a sweater on. I got this yesterday last week in a Stitch Fix box again. They're not sponsoring us, but I do use Stitch Fix, honest to God. And so, yeah, I didn't know how I felt about the short sleeves. And then Nick saw me trying on sweaters. He's like, don't do it. Just rock. He said, guns out. Rains out. Guns out, he says. And I'm doing
Looks
it.
Good.
Guns are out now. You know what I mean? Andy, how do I look?
You look great, Greg.
I don't think that mic's on. I don't know if you need to. Oh, it is on? Okay, good. No, cool. Greg looked over. He's not 100% sure. Here's what I want to talk about. What else is good? You understand?
Yes.
I'm not on the Gamescast this week. Don't worry. You're getting Tim Geddes, Jared Petty, and Mike Biffle, developer of Thomas Was Alone. So I won't have a chance to say this in a timely fashion.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out to two things in the video game world that I am incredibly late to. But because they don't cross over with the normal games I play, why would I ever know? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Number one, playing so much Monster Hunter lately, you know what I mean? But chatting, trying to type out messages real quick in the heat of the moment, it's a pain in the ass. I finally started using the PlayStation app. It's got the little virtual keyboard in there you can connect. What a fucking brilliant invention.
Right?
What a brilliant invention.
It's great.
You know what I mean? I just type out the thing there and send it off. I'm in love with that. And then number two, and I'm really fucking late to this one, Spotify. I finally, after 125 hours, was like, you know what? Kind of sick of the Monster Hunter music. I'm going to turn that off. And then I'm like, oh, I always hear kids out there talking about how when they grind Bloodborne or whatever, they're listening to our podcasts. I'll put on my Spotify, listen. What a great invention. What a great invention. Lately, I've been unplugging the headphones even, and Jen just listens to the music while I play. It's a great time to be alive, Andrea.
Video games, y'all.
Breaking news. I didn't know if you know. If you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you got to be part of the show. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and anything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe. And again, we've been getting lax on it. No editorializing in You're Wrong, all right? What is the fact we screwed up? I don't want some long history about something that we mentioned casually. I want to know what we got wrong. Nothing's wrong. Keep moving. Housekeeping for you. YouTube.com/kindoffunny is less than 300 subs from 230,000. And as you know, that is when they send you the diamond encrusted play button from YouTube at 230,000 subs. So I need you all to go subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunny. I don't, if you're driving, just pull over. Or if you're really talented, multitask. Do it while you're driving.
251 subs away.
251 subs away. You're telling me every one of the many, 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 many thousands of audio listeners of this show each and every day have subscribed? Don't fucking lie to me. I know you're lying to me. I can see into your car right now, and your floors are filthy. Go get this car detailed. You disgust me. Other piece of housekeeping. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is our sponsor today, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Here's what I'll say, Andy. You let me down with the point. You crushed both those segments.
I know.
So there you go.
I know.
Two out of three. I think that's a 75%. You're doing great. Number one. Jeff fucking Goldblum is in Jurassic World Evolution. From the official press release, it reads, Jeff Goldblum will return to the role of Dr. Ian Malcolm for the upcoming video game Jurassic World Evolution, available this summer for PC, the PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Man, did they put a lot of editorializing around these names of the system. PlayStation 4 computer entertainment system, sure. And the Xbox One all-in-one games and entertainment system?
Every press release, it has that. It's so ridiculous. I have never caught that.
They call the Xbox One that.
It's so self-indulgent.
Good Lord.
Some marketing guy is patting himself on the back for that.
Jesus. Jurassic World Evolution tells an all-new story that touches on key characters and events from across the Jurassic World film franchise. Jeff Goldblum as Dr. Ian Malcolm guides players through the moral choices and tactical decisions that will test their building and management skills as they attempt to successfully run their own Jurassic World. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
I feel like I'm going to get let down. I'm too excited for Jurassic World. Jurassic World Evolution. It's a park sim where I get to build my own Jurassic Park. It seems like such a cool, nerdy idea of taking a Sim City or Sim Management game, obviously, and applying that to the Jurassic Park. Am I going to be let down? Is this game going to be okay, Andrea?
I am kind of with you.
Okay.
I think that everyone's excited about bona fide Jurassic Park game set within the official licensed IP, but I don't know if this is what everyone was hoping it was going to be. I remember when this announcement happened, everyone was very excited, like when the logo comes up, but then when we find out it's a building game, everyone was like, oh, that's cool, I guess, but it's such a niche
More excited when that happens because I like these kind of games.
Okay.
And let alone coming to PlayStation right at the jump and I have to wait for something
having
else.
It on console is huge.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely the right way to go. To lock it to PC only would have really limited its potential for success. Now, we haven't really seen much about this game. I think it could have potential to be really cool.
Hopefully we'll
especially,
know soon.
Especially, I mean, Frontier has a great history of making successful games. So I have no doubt that they are going to make it look awesome.
Yeah, we should know soon. At Lucy O'Brien, I saw today, tweeted that she's at a Jurassic World Evolution event. Full disclosure, we were invited to that event, but it's just too busy a week leading into GDC for us to be able to peel Kind of Funny people away. But hopefully they'll come up here one day and show the game. And then I will know if it's going to be good. And bring Jeff Goldblum. Number two. Half Brick has suffered layoffs. This is via CNET. Released in April 2010, Half Brick's Fruit Ninja was one of mobile gaming's earliest success stories. The app has been downloaded over 1 million times and has long been celebrated as a key milestone for Australia's local games industry. But times have been difficult as of late. In 2015, Half Brick made all of its remaining design staff, redundant. And on Monday, according to multiple separate sources, Half Brick made up to 30 staff members redundant, a number that amounts to roughly half of its remaining headcount. After a tremendous amount of success with free-to-play games like Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride, Half Brick has been struggling to replicate those successes. A company-wide shift was created to move from creating new IP to maximizing opportunities for those two existing brands. These new redundancies are reportedly part of this plan. Half Brick closed its Sydney satellite office in July 2016, but maintains an office in Spain. Sources speaking anonymously to CNET estimate fewer than 30 employees remain at Half Brick's main office in Brisbane. At one point, the Brisbane office staffed 70 full-time employees, 100 globally. The focus for Half Brick now is Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride. Apparently, the new 30-man studio is tasked with focusing exclusively on live ops for those two intellectual properties. We reached out to Half Brick for comment, but have yet to hear back. This one is an interesting one because it hits close to home in a way that I think normally it wouldn't for us. In the way that usually there's layoffs. Obviously, that's sad. We want to bring that up and talk about it. Jetpack Joyride, of course, Fruit Ninja crossed over all over the place. There's Fruit Ninja PlayStation VR. You know, I'm talking from a mobile landscape to this. But going further back, the reason I know Half Brick and what's so funny about it is that they were one of the first studios to support PSP minis. And I remember them coming through showing me PSP minis back in the day that I liked a lot. And then they're like, oh, yeah, we're working on this mobile game about fruits and ninjas. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that'll ever take off. And then, like, months later, that they exploded and went huge. So it's super sad, but it's also interesting to see something. Even now, I still think of Fruit Ninja as such a huge success. And you see, when you go to Dave and Buster's, it's there as like this giant arcade machine. It is on PlayStation, it is on VR in general. It's interesting to see that I didn't realize it was going bad behind the scenes or having a tough time, I should say.
I don't know if going bad, I mean, good food pun there, but like I think that what's happening here is they're just shifting focus.
Yeah.
And they probably have let this IP run its course. And instead of beating it to death, which is, you know, not good for anybody, they are saying we're going to move on and start something different. Potentially, the people that were at the studio had a specific skill set that worked for the projects they were working on in the past. But now they're like, hey, we want to work on something different and it requires us to change our direction. We see this with studios all the time.
Well, this is the opposite when project of that, ends. This is them saying they're abandoning new IP and going back to Jetpack Joyride and focusing just on Fruit Ninja. That.
Oh, well, maybe I misunderstood that.
Well, it's because, with all due respect to CNET, it's written in some kind of weird Australian English. But a company-wide shift was created to move from creating new IP to maximizing opportunities for those two existing brands. These new redundancies are reportedly part of this plan.
Okay, so what they're saying is that they're not going to be doing anything new anymore.
Right, that didn't work out. We're figuring out how to... the focus for Half-Brick now is Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride. Apparently, the new 30-man studio is tasked with focusing exclusively on live ops for those two intellectual properties.
Well, that just seems like a bad idea.
So we had these two successes, and then we went, let's make new things.
So they're doing the exact opposite of what I thought they were
exactly.
doing.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
They've tried to do something new, and apparently that didn't go the way they wanted it to.
Well, just like rewind and erase everything I just said.
So now the suits are like, fuck, we need to make money, and these things apparently still have money in them. How do we go back and do that?
So now they're just squeezing the last dregs out of these IPs.
Yeah, apparently.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, I think, to look at it because they are, I think this is such a mobile story. And granted, I think there's crossover all over the place. But that's where they found success. And I would imagine, and I mean, you know way more about mobile gaming than I do. You've paid more attention to that in your career. For me, right, I think you look at something like Naughty Dog, where they make Jack and Daxter, right? They make Uncharted. We want to make Last of Us. They're going to move on to new IPs, and there's an endemic audience that understands, oh, wow, the people who brought me Game X are making Game Y. Mm-hmm. And I would venture to guess in some respects, maybe they hoped that would be the case with them of like, cool, from the creators of Fruit Ninja, from the creators of Jetpack Joyride, comes this new IP that they would hope would get people in the door, but apparently didn't.
I don't know what their new IP was. I don't recall ever hearing about what Half-Brick was working on. This could be potentially your wrong territory if people out there watching know. Of course, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. So I'm going to do a quick quick search here. But I would imagine if the style of gameplay was so far on the opposite spectrum of what Fruit Ninja was, sure, that it would be a tough sell for someone to say, if you enjoyed Fruit Ninja, check out this new game. It would need to be very similar gameplay style in order for that type of a marketing pitch to be successful.
I'm telling you, they should have stayed with PSP minis. There's a lot of stuff going on. There was a lot of juice in those fruits. You know what I mean?
Right. But
Cool
right,
Greg, everybody
right,
gave
right,
up on minis too quick. Everybody gave up on the PSP Go too quick. Yeah, you can shake your head, Cool Greg. I know. It's disappointing. PSP Go ahead of its time, as you all know, of course. Solid state handheld, download only, but none of you wanted it because y'all had your goddamn UMDs and you wanted to know how to get them transferred. I digress.
You do digress. I think that this is fine. I think, you know, also what happens at sometimes at studios, we see that people get creatively burned out on IPs that they're forced to work on year after sure. year after year, and they look for a new creative outlet. And yeah. so sometimes these redundancies are a blessing in disguise for some people creatively, mm-hmm. while obviously getting laid off is stressful and traumatic for a variety of reasons. After the initial wave of, you know, worry and doubt and panic clears, sometimes you can see the light at the end of the tunnel to be like, actually, maybe this is going to be better for me.
Sure.
And I hope that that's the case for the folks at Half-Brick that were affected.
It's going to be fascinating to see, I mean, you know, what'll happen to Half-Brick now that they're down to 30 people trying to just capitalize on IP that already exists. Good luck to them. God bless everybody who got laid off. Number three, I have some Nier Automata numbers for you. This is via IGN. Just over a year after Nier Automata's release, Square Enix has announced that the title has now shipped over 2.5 million units, both at retail and accounting for digital sales. That's that. Congratulations. Go get them, Nier Automata. If you didn't know, slow news day today.
Very slow.
I'm just giving you this. We're here to tell you the big titles under the sun. There you go. That's one of them. I don't know if, you know, Gary would have ever played you Nier Automata, but he'll try. And then, number four, this is a keep an eye on it. Take it with a grain of salt. It's just a rumor thing. But Amazon Canada listed Splinter Cell 2018, apparently, in the last 24 hours. That was making the rounds on The Reset Era. And on kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where Eric Myers wrote in to ask, what's good, Greg and Andrea? Andrea, what's good today?
What's good? What's good? What's on your mind?
I was trying to do an awkward pause.
Oh, sorry. There's one coming up later.
Okay.
So don't worry.
Got it. What's good today?
You did this thing where you looked around kind of panicked. I was like, oh, God, I put her on the spot.
What's good is I'm very excited to play the Curse of the Pharaohs new expansion for Assassin's Creed Origins.
Is that out today?
That's my plan.
That came out today?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't put it on the list.
Did you know it's not on new dates?
No. We got the Wolfenstein DLC twice. Anyways, Eric says, with rumors of a new Splinter Cell, what's the potential of it staying predominantly mission-based as opposed to open world like a majority of Ubisoft titles? Part of me wants more of the same, but you throw in some Metal Gear Solid 5 and Ghost Recon Wildland elements into it, and baby, you got a stew going. Parentheses. Hopefully that Arrested Development reference is applicable. Thanks for your time, Eric. Interesting question of what a Splinter Cell 2018 is going to look like. I would actually hope that they would shake it up and go more Metal Gear Solid 5 route, but I don't want them to, I don't mean just copy it lock, stock, and barrel. But
no cardboard boxes, please.
Oh, come on. Cardboard boxes are fun.
They're dumb.
Oh, you're dumb.
That's right. I said it.
Oh, my God.
They're dumb.
That's a hot take right there. Get it on the Facebook group. I like the Splinter Cell games, but I think that with the gameplay of Splinter Cell was so great of shooting at lights and doing this different infiltrations. I think there's something you could do there in a cool way that is more open world. Not open world, I think, where you have to run from one place to the other, but like go back and redo missions over and over again to get resources to go out and do this. That
sort
makes
of
sense.
Hitman-y?
Yeah, something that makes sense. Hitman-y would be really good, actually. Give me giant environments to do the mission and have me a bunch. That's actually really good. I like that a lot. Keep going. Tell me more about this game.
I mean, it would be... We're overdue, right, for Splinter Cell. And I think that all the signs are pointing that hopefully we're going to get some kind of an announcement soon. Obviously, Ubisoft is focused on the Division 2.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to see that at E3. But, I mean, I don't know when Splinter Cell would fit in their timeline then if they're going to be focusing on the Division. Not that those two games are the same game.
Sure. Do you think Division's due this year? I would
no.
Yeah, right.
I would hope that Ubisoft has learned their lesson from showing their games too early. Whoa. And instead kind of tightening up their marketing window.
I would think you could do Division, blow it out at E3, and it's a spring game.
Right,
and
2019.
This actually goes, I guess, against what I'm saying, though. I would like to see them shake up the Splinter Cell formula. What that means, I don't 100% know.
Right.
But I think you could do Splinter Cell as a reveal at E3 or right before and put it out this fall and have it be...
You could. I mean, that's what they did with Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, right?
Sure.
Announced and then released like within 3 months. Yeah. So announced at E3, released like late August, I believe.
Yeah. Mid-August. And if you did that, though, I think you wouldn't be getting the open world. But again, I don't mean open world in the traditional sense. I don't want to be...
Right, instances, yeah. not like a true open world. But
your idea of the Hitman thing's really smart. If you had a giant like
to give
facility.
You like multiple pathways,
yeah,
so you
yeah,
can
just totally
it.
Rip off IO Interactive on that, right? And like just yeah, you even put it out episodically. We're giving you this, you know, 3-story building that you've got to infiltrate and get all these different things out of. You got something there, Andrea?
Yeah.
Call up Ubisoft.
Okay, I will.
Cool, Greg. Can you go to my desk, get my phone, text Yves Guillemot from Ubisoft? Yves Guillemot.
Cool Greg, don't actually do this.
No, once Cool Greg heard the name a second time, he's like, okay, went to his back to his chair.
But props and shout out to Cool Greg for being such a fantastic employee that when Greg Miller's like, Cool Greg, I need your help, he is there for you instantly.
Cool Greg will take a bullet for anyone in this room. Not anybody outside of this room. Nick, he just like a...
He's on his own.
Andrew, I'm excited for Splinter Cell 2018, whatever it may or may not be, but it's so far away, maybe?
Maybe.
If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today! Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, Future Soldier, Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker, HD Edition, and Axel and Pixel are all coming to Xbox One backward compatibility. Get out there. Enjoy those games. Peace Walker, my favorite game of all time. Wolfenstein 2, The Deeds of Captain Wilkins is now available on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. As we've brought up now, the Assassin's Creed DLC.
Curse of the Pharaohs is out for PC, Xbox One, and PS4. New story, environments, and other content.
What is this going to do to your monster hunting, though, you know?
Well, I could play Curse of the Pharaohs in the afternoon today, and then tonight we could monster hunt.
Hell yeah, all right, that's what I have to say. Maybe I'm going to go see Tomb Raider tonight. So maybe we hunt the monsters when you get home.
Yeah.
And get that, and then you do it
in
reverse.
You let me know.
Okay, I'm going to be on. I got these optional missions. I've almost got them all taken care of. And then I just got 90 other things to worry about getting done.
I just have that stupid Yoked in the Forest mission that just, oh. I hate that mission.
Oh, yeah. You just got to open it up with a, just do it today. We'll put it out and then a million people join and they just run the eggs and you kill whatever you want to kill.
Okay.
The 25th War, the Silver Case comes to PlayStation 4. Armello, PlayStation 4. Beast Quest, Xbox One. Coffin Dodgers on Switch. I'll tell you right now, if any of you people buy Coffin Dodgers on Switch, you are fools. Buy it on PlayStation 4. It is a very easy platinum trophy. Just an hour and a half, 2 hours, you got a platinum trophy. What are you doing? The Council, Episode 1, comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Cruise Brothers comes to PlayStation 4. Stick with me. Danmaku Unlimited 3 comes to Switch.
Good job.
Devil May Cry HD Collection comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Hakuyoki Edo Blossoms comes to PlayStation Vita. Vita lives. The Long Reach comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Pure Farming 2018 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Cube 2 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Spiral Splatter comes to Xbox One and Switch. The Raven Remastered comes to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Tesla vs. Lovecraft comes to PlayStation 4. And then, technically it came out last night, but it is out today. Nintendo firmware 5.0 comes out. Or is out. You can get it right now. You have to get it. It gives you Facebook and Twitter friends that also use Nintendo Switch can now be added through friend suggestions. Select from 24 new ARMS and Kirby series icons for your user. Digital software purchases made from a PC or a smart device will start downloading sooner than previously, even if the Nintendo Switch is in sleep mode. I like how they're not like, it's not instantaneous. It's just faster than it was before. You know what I mean? We're not going to overpromise
here.
Props to you, Nintendo. You can filter news to only view unread news or news from specific channels. There's the new parental controls pin stuff that I'm just going to skip over because you don't care. Captured videos in the album will now be restricted by parental controls. There's the parental controls app. They're really concerned about these parental controls. You can receive notifications when pre-purchase software is ready to play, apparently. And then Nintendo Switch Pro controller grip colors will now display in the controller's menu. New dates for you. Bridge Constructor Stunts will be released on the 27th of March. And then, don't have a date for you yet, but this would imply it's pretty imminent, you'd imagine. Monster Hunter World is getting Devil May Cry / Dante costumes and weapons as a DLC. You assume it's going to be just like Aloy. It's going to be just like the Ryu from Street Fighter thing. There was no date on the trailer, but again, I know that Wednesday in Japan, there's supposed to be a Monster Hunter World presentation that people are hypothesizing is the map for like spring of what they're doing content-wise.
Wednesday in Japan starts pretty soon.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm hoping tonight. Hours. I'm hoping like 9 o'clock tonight, but I don't know any real information about that. But the Devil May Cry thing is fueled. That the Devil May Cry Monster Hunter content is then fueling the speculation that the HD collection and all this is getting people excited for Devil May Cry again, so that at E3 they can announce the new Devil May Cry and get people really pumped. But
that
we'll
sounds
see.
Right.
Either way, the costume looks cool and the weapon looks cool. Tim Geddes is too big of a bitch, though, to go play it, I'm sure. You know what I mean? I'm just putting
he
it out there.
Openly said he's not going to play Monster Hunter.
What a coward. You know what I mean? Deals of the day for you. There's a US PSN deal called The Great Indora Sale. Check it out. And then over on Xbox, you have the Amazing Indie Puzzle Sale. The sale has some of the best ID at Xbox puzzle games discounted by up to 75% off.
Just got
breaking news.
An email. Warframe hits record 38 million registered users on their 5-year milestone.
God damn.
On their fifth birthday. This is really fantastic. 38 million. That's crazy.
Have you played Warframe?
I played it back in the early days, like super briefly. Mm-hmm. So the game it is today is not the game that I played back then. So I think definitively the right answer here is no.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy that it's got such a great fan base to it and so many people. But it's also very much one of those that I think that as somebody who doesn't play it, it's, oh yeah, that was there when like PlayStation 4 launched or whatever. And it kind of came and went. For me, and then behind the rock, there's all these people playing all this thing, and every year at the Game Awards, right? There's like, hey, here's this huge content drop we're doing, and talking about, like, all right, great, good for them, yeah. Go get them. Time for reader mail, Andrea. But first, I need to tell you, it's brought to you by our sponsor, Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. That's right. No real sponsor this week, so we're sponsoring ourselves, and I'm encouraging you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You like what we've been doing lately? You like Andrea? You like Kind of Funny Games Daily? You like Gary? You like Jared? You like Danny? May God rest his soul. you know, obviously, Patreon's a huge part of that. We couldn't do this business. We couldn't be Kind of Funny without your support on Patreon. We know, of course, that when Patreon threatened to change their fees, a lot of you ran away. Understandably so. We'd ask you to come back. We're fine, by the way. This is not some cry for help message. I'm just saying, if you like what we've been doing lately, we feel like we're on a roll. We're producing the best content we ever had. We'd love it if you went to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kicked us a buck. Of course, you get early access to Party Mode. There's a brand new one going up tomorrow. Far Cry 5 is the one that's been windowed right now since last week. And let me tell you, first off, it's a great Let's Play. Secondly, unheard of support in terms of viewership numbers on that from you behind the scenes on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you so much for tuning in early, supporting that to get that. A new PlayStation VR show, of course, up there. The dollar gets you everything early if we're going to put it up. Then, of course, you can watch shows live. Then, of course, you can go up higher tiers, get the videos for Gamescast early. You could get a birthday card for me next month if you support at the fan mail
tier.
The AMA? There's all sorts of stuff. There's cool stuff over on it. So go check out patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck. If you already kick us a buck, what about $1 more for my birthday? Right, Cool Greg? Yeah. Thanks, Cool Greg. Let's jump in to the questions. Here's what I want to say, too. A compliment to everybody who wrote in. A tip of the hat at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Great questions today, especially for a day where it's like, man, we just sped through the news. We're 25 minutes in. The Rover Report's done.
Wasn't much today.
Joe Cross wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea. I am so excited for A Way Out. I have been playing a lot of single player experiences lately, but this seems like the game that could bridge my interest in a strong narrative based title with a fun co-op experience. How do you feel this game will fare, and do you think the lack of a single player option will negatively impact sales? Interestingly, this game will offer an option where if one person buys the title, they can invite a friend to download a trial version and play the entire game with them for free, parentheses, but that person will not earn achievements/trophies. Do you think this sales decision will help the title and start a new trend among co-op games? Thanks for all you do, Joe Cross. Andrea, what's your read on No Way Out? A Way Out. God damn it.
I think that this is an interesting concept. I like that it's so heavily narrative based. I am with the people who feel disappointed that you can't play it single player.
Okay.
I like that it is a co-op design from the ground up, but at the same time, there's a lot of us out there that enjoy playing games alone. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that people who enjoy playing games alone will not be able to experience this game.
Interesting. I hear you, but I urge you to try. I feel like this could be a great bridge, like he says here, right? I feel like this really could be a gateway into an online experience. And I feel, obviously, I'm incredibly blessed in the way that, well, you know, Jen obviously wants to play it with me, but on top of that at any time I can tweet out, I want to do this thing in multiplayer, and dozens, if not hundreds of people will hit me up and be ready to do it. But I really feel, since the ask is so little in terms of you just need one other person, that this is a great best friend game, like we're always talking about. This is a great squad up game. This is a great go to the forums, go to the Facebook, go to the Reddit, put it up there and just be like, I need somebody tonight to try this. Or does anybody have it? I'd love to try it and get in there and see what it's like to play with somebody who is your friend. And I know I'm using it, is the best friend, is the kind of funny best friend, because the horror stories I hear from Monster Hunter, right, are the people who just L4G, jump into a game, okay, they kill the monster, and then somebody like trolls them so they can't pick up the gear and shit like that. Like getting into a game with randoms. I feel like since the ask is so low, you're going to be able to get in there with mm-hmm. people you have some kind of internet connection to.
I didn't realize people were having that trouble in Monster Hunter.
It was definitely, I saw Klepek reporting on it in the first few weeks. I'm not sure if they've already patched it or done something, but it is that thing, you know, how you can like knock people out of stuns. People would sit down and try to carve the monster they just got, and randoms would just hit them so they couldn't collect any of the stuff. Like asses.
That's really shitty.
People are bad people on the internet sometimes. That's why Kind of Funny best friends are best friends and not like that. And that's why we get to work with
it. The best friends are great. They helped me a lot over the last couple of times I've played.
The amount of people, that's what I love about, and this isn't turning into a Monster Hunter thing, but that's what I love about how Monster Hunter does multiplayer, in the way that, cool, here's my code. Everybody join this room. I'm going to put up random stuff and people just randomly join me. And the fact that I'll be having a good string of, we'll destroy this monster. We have a great group. And somebody will leave, and then they'll just send me a little message of, just wanted to give somebody else a shot to play with you. It's like, I don't even have to be like, hey, we've been playing for hours. Can you go? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people know on their own to go do that and stuff, so somebody else can get in and play with the god that is Greg Miller.
I don't know. Steve is like level 140 something.
Steve, Ryjack, these people are insane.
Yeah, Ryjack was playing with me last night. I like, we were talking about, well, I don't want to go down a Monster Hunter rabbit hole.
No, do it. Whatever.
No, we were talking about how I'm trying to get this one quest with the Elder Dragon tracks, and I can't get them because the best friends will come in and slay the monsters so quickly
yeah.
that I don't get to run around the world to find the stuff that I need to find quick enough. So yeah. I had to finally just be like, I need to go on an expedition to find the tracks, everybody.
I'll see you in a bit.
And then there was, I think it was Doc Holliday, who was in my group last night, who was like, I've never actually used the touchpad to type anything because I kept typing out custom messages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, man, you got to get in. It's all about communication.
And you can use the app now, so it's great. Anyways, A Way Out, I think, really does have... I think if it's good, and this is another preview event we were invited to recently and just couldn't make work because they, well, I saw the message late. It wasn't even on them. If it's good, as I think it will be, I really do think that's going to be a game that won't be a breakout. It's, you know, look at it, it's set a new record for EA for sales, but it's going to be a breakout in the way of like, oh man, everybody wants to talk about that. I remember when Two Brothers came out, right? And everybody's like, man, this is a really cool experience. It's a really mm-hmm. cool game. I feel like this has the chance to be something super special and get people who are usually single player people to jump in and try something, but we'll see. We'll have to go. Since we've been blowing smoke about Monster Hunter, mm-hmm. let's jump to Dave, who writes in and says, am I the only person in the world that doesn't like Monster Hunter?
Yes.
The game has a worse targeting system than Zelda 64. Invisible walls prevent you from sniping monster from treetops. Other games like Final Fantasy 12 have hunts as a side quest, but Monster Hunter, it's the entire game. The controls are bad and aren't that responsive, yet people talk about it every week. Yet everyone is talking... He's just on this yet train. Yet everyone is talking about it as if it's the greatest thing ever. I don't get it. Yes, it's a fun social game, but it seems like reviewers and journalists will ignore problems in games if it's a social game. If Monster Hunter was a single-player game, I believe the game would be average at best. Yes, every game isn't for everyone, but remember when DMC got criticized for having meh targeting? Monster Hunter, no mention, and the targeting is 100 times worse. Love your work, Dave!
So, Dave, I think you're missing the crux of what Monster Hunter is about. You shouldn't be in the treetops sniping the monsters. It's designed to get you up close and personal with the monsters. And even as someone like me who uses the light bow gun, which has a lot of mobility, and I can shoot from a distance, the vast majority of the weapons in Monster Hunter are designed to get you like right underneath the monster. So you're like right there. You can feel the scale of it. I mean, it's right in the name. It's Monster Hunter. That's the whole point of the game is to hunt monsters. I think maybe what you're having trouble with was something that I struggled with when I first started playing, was I started with the dual blades and I was having trouble with the targeting as well. And so I switched to something that was a little bit more comfortable for me, which was the bow gun. And I immediately liked the gameplay a lot better. Mm-hmm. And so I would recommend maybe starting with one of the guns, either the heavy or the light bow gun, and that'll maybe get you more into this style, and then you can try out all the different types of weapons. Use the training area to figure out which weapon you like better. Also, the targeting system, you can toggle the lock on and off. I wouldn't recommend using it if you're struggling with it.
Yeah, I don't even use it. But I think the biggest thing is I think Dave, you just don't like the game. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I think the big part, not every game's for everything.
Well, and prioritizing frame rate in your graphical settings is so important if you're having trouble with the combat feeling clunky on whatever system you're playing it on. It'll really help it smooth out. Obviously, like, you want to maybe take a look at what it looks like with the resolution or the graphics prioritized, but to have the best experience possible, you really just got to make the frame rate the priority.
Yeah, I think it's the, you know, I would say don't play it because I don't think it's your kind of game. You keep comparing it to other games, which is obviously fair, but I think it is the fact that you have to look at Monster Hunter like you'd look at any other game and be like, well, these are the rules for Monster Hunter.
Right. Right.
Like the targeting system, I think, is more if you feel like the monster is getting away from you, but it's not targeting in the fact of I click R3 and then anything I throw is going to go at that monster. It's main, it keeps your eye on the monster, but I turn that off and I'm doing blades. But yeah, I have to, how many times, multiple times every fight I go in there and I hit triangle and circle together, right? And I do the blade attack like this and okay, that didn't, he moved, so I'm just whiffing at the air right now. But that's how that game plays, and that's how it is. And it's not meant to be every attack I'm landing, it's supposed to be planning, it's supposed to be, and it sounds like, I'm sure to some, like I'm making excuses for it, but it's how the game is designed. And it's one of the reasons it didn't click for me on PSP is because it was even, I felt more clunkier then, and it had a whole bunch of quality of life improvements in World that make it better for that.
And I want to address the thing you say here about, yes, it's a fun social game, but it seems like reviewers and journalists will ignore its problems, or ignore problems and gains if it's a social game. That's 100% not true. I think we, as people who play a lot of video games and critique and analyze games, we're able to look past certain flaws if the gameplay is still fun. I'm going to use Destiny 2 as an example. I'm not giving Destiny 2 a pass because it's a social game. I've criticized that game for its flaws on this show several times. And there are lots of flaws in Monster Hunter, but the gameplay itself is so fun that I'm willing to overlook these individual flaws in different areas, whether that be in, you know, inventory management or a lack of tutorials or whatever, you know, flaws people have found in the game for their own personal perspective, because it's still more fun to play than not.
A big big thing that we're talking about when we this brings me to, I think, an apt comparison here, not in terms of gameplay or something like that, but in terms of, man, people are ignoring all these things I hate, is the Souls games.
Right.
Right. Where it's like from Demon Souls through Dark Souls, it's in Bloodborne. Like, those games don't click for me. I understand why people like them. But yeah, when I get in, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And it's all these different things. And I don't think the combat in the original Souls games was as responsive or as fast as I wanted. I can say those, and those can be my personal opinions on it. But for the game they've built, that's how they wanted it to play. For Monster Hunter, this is how they want it to play. They want you to be out there and not fully understand what's going on. And they want you to chase these monsters and not be able, you know, and they want you to hunt them. And that's what I was always, when Jen first started playing, Jen did not like it. And so there were these conversations of just like, I got to pick up these tracks to do that thing to find them. Why can't, and I'm like, because you're hunting them. You know what I mean? Like, you're, and then when it all, if it all clicks for you, or even if it clicks and it isn't for you, you get, oh, that's what, I understand why this choice is made, because they want it to be like this, similar to what you're saying of like, yeah, when you're way up on a cliff, I don't use ranged weapons, so I don't know about not being able to snipe. I know more of, oh, the guy's down there, I jump off, I come in and I'm not going to get him, but as I'm coming down, somebody else hits him, or they see me and they roar and I fall to the ground before I even get an attack in. I'm like, all right, whatever. Monster Hunter's awesome though, I think. No offense, Dave. That was it. No more Monster Hunter talk for the rest of time. Thank you. Okay. Aaron Mars writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Andrea. Hope you are all having a great day. State of Decay 2 has announced its collector's edition. At once, I knew I wanted it. I am extremely hyped for this game. When I went to check it out, however, I found that it doesn't actually come with the game. This is not the first game to have done this, I know, but it leads me to wonder if this will start to become a trend. Also, what are your opinions on collector's editions shipping without said game in box? Sorry for the long question. Keep doing what you're doing. All the kind of funny content helps my work day fly by. Aaron Mars. I think it already is a trend, like you said. You said it's not the first to do it. Yeah, there's multiple games that have done this and put out collector's edition without the game in it, which I think is super weird.
I don't understand it at all.
How hard is it to put a code for a game? And I love State of Decay 2. I can't wait for State of Decay 2. I won't read Ryan McCaffrey's coverage because I won't let him ruin the game for me. I just like, what? Why isn't there a code for the game in there? What's going on?
I understand we're in an era of people preloading games and buying digitally versus buying physical, but why they wouldn't allow you to have that as a bundle, and then they would email you the code ahead of time so you could preload, and then they send the physical stuff afterwards.
Is that the argument, you think? That they want you to preload, or they want you to be ready to go on launch night at, you know, 9:01?
I honestly don't know.
For me, and again, I'm a huge State of Decay fan. I think you all know that I was a huge evangelist for the first one at IGN, and then when they put it out and we were at Kinda Funny.
Also, why are you putting a steelbook case in there if it doesn't include the game?
Right.
There was already enough of a joke when you had a steelbook with a code for the game that there was no disc, but like now you don't even get a code. Okay, so it's you get a State of Decay 2 patch, a steelbook case, a zombie mask, a thumb drive in the shape of a severed digit, which is a finger, a human brain steelbook stand, and the only thing missing is the copy of the game. $69.99 and no game.
I mean, so, yeah, when they do this, and I'm not talking about State of Decay, just video game publishers in general. Okay, cool. So you're just buying a loot box for the game you like, which, okay, you like that game. You want to get a bunch of swag for it. Why isn't the game in there? I don't know. And maybe I'm a crazy person. A lot of that sounds like junk.
Well, most collector's editions are junk. But I think potentially what we're seeing here is that they wanted to do a collector's edition, or potentially they already had these items in process of being produced, and then they announced the Game Pass news. And so potentially they're anticipating a lot of people getting Game Pass and playing State of Decay 2 through Game Pass.
Interesting.
And said, well, we still want to sell all these collector's editions that we made, but if people are on Game Pass, then they're not going to buy the game but we still want to sell them the tchotchkes and the toys and stuff.
That is actually a really good point. Yeah. Mm. You figure you bring in a bunch of people. And for me, collector's editions with, I mean, like rare exceptions. Well, first off, I don't like collector's editions most of the time. But like DC Universe Online, of course I was going to buy the collector's edition, right?
Right.
I think it's a rare exception where I'm like, hey, there's a game I don't know too much about that I'm going to buy the collector's edition for. But if I'm coming into State of Decay blind, too blind, I get Game Pass, I play it, I fall in love with it. Yeah, I would want to probably buy a bunch of stuff. Not me, but somebody would want to buy a bunch of collector's items. That's interesting. It would have been even more interesting if they gave you Game Pass for a month free in it, right?
Yes.
I was like, here you go, cool. And you, Andrea, you just cracked this nut. Good job.
Thanks.
Good job. I don't think that collector's edition looks that great, and I'm a huge State of Decay 2 fan. No. Love you on Dead Labs. Nathan C. writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's good, Greg and Andrea? With PlayStation, Classic FM, and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra teaming up to put on a PlayStation-themed concert in May. What? How did I not hear about this? Do you think that it would be a good move on Sony's part to allow PlayStation VR owners to stream the show from their living rooms? How likely do you think it would be, seeing as PlayStation VR had a decently sized push last year in the UK? Thanks for all the hard work and have a terrific Tuesday. Oh, it's in the UK. That's why I didn't hear about it.
Okay. This would be a great idea to stream it in PSVR.
This is what I've been saying since the start. I don't understand how this isn't happening. How are we not at PSX having a VR camera up front in the front row? At the stage entrance, at the center stage, like, and then sell it. They already do live events. They do
sell
the NBA
tickets,
stuff. Yeah. Like, when they announced PlayStation VR, and they also, this is when I was really hypothesizing and trying to put like the line, the thread between two little thumbtacks. When they bought the PlayStation, or they bought that theater and called it the PlayStation Theater, sponsored that theater, whatever it is, in New York, I was like, what a brilliant move if they had VR cameras permanently set up there. And like, anytime there is a show at the PlayStation Theater, you can buy a ticket online and watch it through your VR headset. Like,
seems like a no-brainer.
That is totally the power of VR, and games are great, and we're learning, and that's amazing. What a great added value. I talked about this recently on, I think, Games Daily, and recently being in the last year, of like how, oh man, they should do like NBA, blah, blah, blah. And somebody hit me up. I'm like, no, they do that. They do that. And it was like, why are you not shouting this from the rooftops of all these things? I haven't done it yet because I just forget about it and don't think about it. But if it was like, hey, here's this big deal. Hey, watch, you know, not Mizzou, but like, you know, if they were doing NCAA, NBA, whatever, like, that's so cool. Why aren't they telling us all the time about this?
Don't know.
I tell you, Andrea.
Why don't you tweet to your homeboy?
Shuhei Yoshida?
Yeah. Be like, yo, Shu, can we get this concert in PSVR?
Maybe I will, guys. Maybe I will.
He could make it happen.
I'm more worried about where the hell Patapon 2 HD release date is, though, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That and Spider-Man, all right? I had a great tweet.
I should create a swear jar for you and Patapon.
I had a great tweet about the Spider-Man release date today. I wish you could retweet it at twitter.com/GameOverGreggy. I did the Spider-Man song, but I changed the lyrics. It's pretty great. I haven't seen it, but if it doesn't get 1,000 retweets by the time the show's over, I'm going to be pretty pissed, and I might quit Twitter. Dizzy Dick writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, how can I overcome my dizziness? As I watch your PlayStation VR show and Far Cry 5 Party Mode, I feel envious of people who can play FPSs and VR games without getting dizzy. Any tips or techniques to beat the dizzy without pharmaceutical help or weed? Thanks in advance. Interesting question. I feel like
I'm not qualified to give you a good answer for this.
You get dizzy, or you get motion sick, right, playing VR?
I get queasy, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in my first VR experiences, that might have happened a little bit. And like, granted, there's still sometimes you put on a game and it's not calibrated, right? You're like, oof, no thank you, or you know what I mean? But I feel like it's experience. But have you done that? Have you tried, like, I'm going to actually commit to not getting dizzy, so I'm going to try a little bit and stop and go a little bit further every time? Or is it you just tried it and you know, it's not good for me?
If I play and I get dizzy or nauseous within the first 5 to 10 minutes of playing, I just quit, full stop.
Okay.
Just done.
Yeah.
And I don't go back.
Okay.
Because there's too many other things for me to play.
Sure. I get that.
And I just don't give it another chance. Britt, who plays a lot of VR, says that it helps her to have a couple of drinks before she goes in, because then it slows everything down a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's looking for something that's not to alter him from a chemical state.
For me, I mean, like, I would have to imagine, and I don't remember VR or FPS as being bad for me ever, but my only analog would be reading on the train when I used to take the Muni into IGN, is that I was like, oh man, I'll get to play video games or read my phone or write reviews and all this stuff. And it was incremental, where every day I would do it a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, now it's time to turn off the phone. And the back of cars the same way, looking at Twitter or doing whatever. Until now, where I can just do it and it doesn't matter how crazy the ride is. And I don't know if that would work here, but I
would say the first thing and probably therapy. The most affordable thing for you to try would be to just pick up some C-bands, which you can get in pretty much any drugstore in the U.S. And they're essentially just little wristbands that put pressure on a pressure point on your wrist. They're designed for like when you're on a cruise or something like that to help with motion sickness. And so there's no pills or anything like that. Try that. Maybe that'll help you with your equilibrium. It's a relatively easy thing to try. Sure. Other than that, I don't have a good answer for you. I'm sorry.
I say just jump in. Point day by day, go a little bit further.
Dizzy wave.
Go a little bit further, Dizzy Dick. Now that was Dizzy Dick. I can't prove that these people are connected, but Dizzy Dick wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. And then Dizza wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD as well and says, "Hello, Greg and Andrew. Just a quick question. I'm very excited for the Division 2, but I'm worried that I'm going to be disappointed because it has only been 2 years since the first one came out. Do you think it's been long enough to work on a full-fledged sequel? I remember when Destiny 2 first came out, people were referring to it as Destiny 1.5, and this is what I'm most afraid of for the Division. What are your thoughts? And did Destiny 2 ultimately deliver?"
Dizza, Ubisoft has so many studios across the world that you do not need to worry about the Division 2 falling to the same problems that Destiny 2 did. Because Destiny 2 has had a much limited scope as far as like how many different studios were working on it. Obviously, it was Bungie.
Yeah.
And they had some help from, you know, a few other people. But, I mean, Ubisoft can rotate their franchises within their internal studios, much like Activision rotates the Call of Duty franchise within the studios that work on that title. So I don't think you need to worry about that.
Massive is overseeing this and getting help, though?
Well, I mean, when they released the announcement, they listed all of the different studios
that
are working on this title. And so I'm fully confident that that's not going to be the problem here. But that being said, we don't know if it's going to suffer from what Destiny suffered from because we haven't seen anything from the game yet.
Yeah.
And a game as a service is always going to be at risk for that, for not having taken it far enough. Once we get the reveal, once we see like the new setting, once we see, you know, what they're offering from gameplay, from gear, players, narrative, we'll be able to obviously make a better assessment of that. Did Destiny 2 ultimately deliver? I'm going to say no, it didn't. Not yet.
And I was going to say, yeah, I don't think it's had the chance to ultimately deliver yet.
Right.
I think that first major content drop, similar to how it worked with Destiny 1, will be the one that you hopefully brings back the people who, like me, who had my time with it and left. We come back, and then the people who've stuck it out are going to be like, Now this is what I wanted from Destiny. You hope.
Right. Yeah. We'll see. So I'm glad, though, that Destiny, in hindsight, I'm kind of glad that it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be because it gave me time to play other things.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to the next big expansion. I'm looking forward to the roadmap that they've laid out really coming to fruition. But I'm not holding my breath that it's going to impress me the way that I was originally intending back when Destiny 2 originally launched. And that's disappointing for me as somebody who's a big fan of that game. But I kind of am a little burned now by it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the game wasn't fun and doesn't mean I'm not going to go back and still have a great time with that game.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, did it ultimately deliver? The short answer there is no.
Yeah. For my impressions on Division, right? Like, I think, first off, Ubisoft has the benefit now of seeing how wrong Destiny 2 went. And I'm not that it's bad, not that it's broken, yada, 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 but the reaction, how they bungled microtransactions, so on and so forth. Like, they get to sit there and everybody gets to be like, oh, fuck, okay, make sure we don't do that. I think the Division 2 gets the benefit of Division 1 was awesome and great, and it was so New York. Where is Division 2 going to be? Is it going? Is the dollar flew in Chicago? Is it in California? Like, there's, even if you just get a brand new city to explore and it's not snow and it is sunny and it's, or it's rainy, are we in the, you know, down in New Orleans, which wouldn't be as great, but in terms of like a giant skyscrapers and things like that, are we in London? Is it, you know, there's so many different ways to take that and put you in there that I think by doing that, doing the gameplay fixes that people have wanted, that you've already kind of delivered throughout these patches and getting in that there. If the gameplay sings, if there's the same reason for progression we all loved, if multiplayer is great, I think you can succeed without feeling like you have to reinvent the wheel. Whereas Destiny 1 had already taken us so many places that, cool, now it's like if we jump into the Division 2 and it is still fucking the exact same enemies, like the Trashmen and fucking Joe Farrow's firefighters and shit, it's like, all right, well, this fucking sucks. That was the problem, I think, for most people with Destiny 2, right? Is
absolutely.
Like, I shot all these guys before. I don't know. Where are my new people?
The class system was essentially identical. There wasn't a new class. Yeah. There wasn't enough done narratively. I mean, we don't need to run through all of Destiny 2's problems.
But I'm just
right
saying,
now.
Like,
but
I feel like those are the, you can see, oh, that's what we can't screw up.
Right.
We need to give them a new experience. Andrew, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, and platform of choice. I read it here. The best friends come and find you and everyone who plays video games together. Today, Anthony needs help on Xbox One. His Xbox One username is Red Wolf Crusader, all one word. Greg. Andrea. I'm looking to recruit the best of the best, the most dedicated achievement hunters over on Xbox One to undertake a great feat alongside me. The feat is 100%ing the Master Chief Collection. Yes, all four Halo, including ODST, every single and multiplayer achievement. Hopefully, we can plan our attack and go in and make this son of a bitch, no, take this son of a bitch down and become the best there ever was. Thanks, Anthony. If you think you have the cojones to roll with Red Wolf Crusader, send an Xbox One friend request, and then keep us posted. Anthony, I want to know how this goes. Just like Antonio Reyes did. Antonio writes back in to say, hey, Kinda Funny crew, good day. Just wanted to give you all an update on how my fight Lights Out progression was going. I can finally stare at my trophy list with a little more glee, knowing I finally got it. 10 long years. Thank you to Speedometer and Miki Inho 37. Couldn't have done it without you. Of course, Antonio needed help on an old-ass game. Wrote in here. Y'all came and found him. Andrea, before we get to your wrong, we have a new segment called Inside Kinda Funny with Greg Miller. Today, two questions pertaining to how Kinda Funny does business, and I figured, why not? Hiram Reed writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, Greg and Andrea.
Hello.
Long-time listener and long-time listener of Kinda Funny from back in the beyond days. I look forward to every KFGD party mode and PSVR show. Parentheses, cooking with Greggy was awesome. I have submitted a handful of questions with segment ideas without any success of being read on the show. Being a big old Excel numbers dork, I was wondering what are the stats for questions / segments on Kinda Funny Games Daily. On average, how many questions get submitted? How many questions get read? What is the mathematical probability of getting a question read on KFGD? I understand there is an element of some context not making the cut. No, content not making the cut. Keep up the excellent job. Hiram. Well, Hiram, you give me far too much credit to think that I would go through and be able to give you those numbers. That's not how it comes in. It all gets delivered on a giant spreadsheet, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of questions every day because you are all awesome. Of course, as I've said since Beyond, brevity is the soul of wit. If you can get to your point quickly, you have a much better chance of getting in there. I love context, but some of you write me 15 paragraphs, and I'm just like, I don't even have time to edit that or read it, let alone. So it's like that. And the other problem, not problem, the other good thing is that because it's a news show, lots of people write in about the same things, as you've seen me group questions before and go through with a bunch of different things. So usually, if you've noticed, the question that never gets read is, Jeff Goldblum's in Jurassic World, what do you think of that? Like, we're going to talk about that. It's the Jeff Goldblum's in Jurassic World, what do you think of that? Like, what does this mean for X or Y? Those are the kind of questions of giving context.
Yeah,
taking something interesting or an angle with the news are going to get read more than anything. And news segments are hit or miss. Lots of times, I mean, I print these things out and we don't get through a lot of the questions. I print them out knowing these are solid questions, but when the show is flowing, how is it all going to flow together? Like, we talk about Monster Hunter too much, so I'm going to ditch a Monster Hunter question here. Or we haven't talked about Monster Hunter enough, so I'm going to talk about that. And then by the time you get to it, lots of times there's new segments that we get to, and it's just, man, this show's already super long because Gary Witt is a goon, so we're not going to get to those today.
He is a goon.
Ernie wrote in with another Kinda Funny inside baseball question and says, how's it hanging, Kinda Funny crew? Cool, Greg, how you doing?
I'm good.
He's good, he says. I have asked this question on the Twitterverse, Angry Greg voice, and gotten no response, and Angry Greg voice. I get a lot of tweets too. I'm sorry. They don't show them all. My question is that with Naomi Kyle semi-recently leaving IGN, have there been any conversations about getting her on the show? If not, is that a person you guys would be interested in having just as a guest? Love the Kinda Funny Games. Keeps me sane while driving from Jacksonville to Orlando every week. Keep doing what you guys do. Love, Ernie. Hashtag my main man, Kev, needs more airtime. Kev not even here today because he's busting his buns for us somewhere else.
Ernie. Naomi Kyle was on What's Good Games. You can check out her episode at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames or on podcast services.
So let's start with the back half of your question. If not, is that a person you guys would be interested in having as a guest? Yes. We were trying to get Naomi on, I think, either the morning show at GOG or Kind of Funny Games Daily when she was getting ready to leave. But the problem was with her, the way she, her turnaround time on announcing she was leaving IGN and leaving, it was super quick and she had a million things to do. And of course, we have people booked all the time too. So that didn't happen. We've talked about bringing her back up for a show for sure. We love Naomi. We want to have her on all sorts of Kind of Funny products. Have there been conversations about getting her on the show? You mean, has there been a conversation about her joining Kind of Funny? The answer there is no.
She lives in Los Angeles now.
She moved to Los Angeles, and the fact is that IGN, Kind of Funny at this point, I don't think can support another full-time host. It's one of those, we're going to have to, and that's even a weird thing too. We don't want another full-time host, right? The next person we hire is going to have to wear a million hats. Not that I'm saying Naomi can't. Obviously, we hired Andy to edit Party Modes. He's hosting shows left and right. That's how it is here, that everybody has to have a diverse set of skills. But what I'm saying is, not take Naomi out of the question, we're not there to bring somebody else on yet. That's not where the business is at. And that's why I think you see all the time us be lucky enough to have contractors of Andrea, Gary, Danny rest his soul, Jared Petty, in the way that they're nice enough to play ball with us and come in and do this. I would love to fucking say, you know what? What's good games? Suck it and fucking crush them and hire Andrea away. But I just don't think we can do that. And I think she's pretty happy doing her own thing too. But no, those conversations haven't happened because we're not there yet. We're at a very awesome point right now. It's Kind of Funny. But that next step of bringing somebody else on is a much bigger undertaking, let alone when Naomi's like, I'm moving to LA. And us be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But what if you stayed here? Well, yeah, I know you're about to tear up your life. You can go watch a new video, find all about it on our YouTube channel. But yeah, that's how contractors work so well. And so whenever you see somebody be like, well, I don't know why they stay in San Francisco. They could move to the middle of the country. We would move to the middle of the country, and then it would be the same seven people on camera all the time, which works really well for Game Over Greg in the morning show. I think Games Daily, the strength of the show is the fact that we can have so many crazy guests in, like next week when there's a different GDC guest each and every day. But thanks for writing in, and Karen, remember, sponsor, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Hashtag get another host one day. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
If people watch the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunny, mm-hmm. games, I only left out the games part, where they can, of course, subscribe with Twitch or Amazon Prime. If they have Twitch Prime, they got Twitch Prime, Amazon Prime. You just fucking give us the money on Twitch. We ask them to write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. What do we screw up today?
Today, Kebabs answered the call about Half Brick and says Half Brick Studios' latest games from 2016 are Star Skater and Dan the Man for mobile, as well as Fruit Ninja VR for Windows and PSVR. In 2015, they made Fruit Ninja Academy Math Master and Fruit Ninja Connect 2. Since the release of the original Fruit Ninja in 2010, they've worked or helped development on 29 games, one of which is Jetpack Joyride, in addition to the aforementioned titles. Other Fruit Ninja titles include Fruit Frenzy Connect, Fruit Ninja Frenzy, and the arcade title Fruit Ninja FX and Fruit Ninja Skittles in 2013
Skittles.
For mobile.
Well, thank God they're going to double down on Fruit Ninja now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean
thank God.
Whew. All right. Mr. Salty Dog says, it is worth noting that Jurassic World Evolution is not the first park builder game set in the Jurassic Park world universe. In 2003, PS2, Xbox, and PC game Jurassic Park Operation Genesis tasked the player with creating their own park similar to how Evolution seems to be shaping up to be and has a current Metacritic score of 72% for the PC version.
Hey, oh, just the PC version.
For the record, I was a big fan of the game. Lucar Wolf says, Greg, you said Armello released today on PS4, but it's been available on PS4 since September 1st, 2015. Today's Armello release is a physical release on not just PS4, but also Xbox One and PC.
Thank you very much. That's a great you're wrong correction.
Mr. Salty Dog says, it is in fact already Wednesday morning in Japan.
Konnichiwa.
Charles J. elaborates and says the Monster Hunter World 2-hour stream starts at 4 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time tomorrow, so in about 15 hours. English and Japanese Twitter revealed a tiny bit of info. We'll show gameplay of the new Devil Geo? Geo? Yeah. How do we say this monster name?
I forget. It must Devil have been Ho? Gary, and he was like Devil Joe is how he pronounced it. Devil Joe?
Devil Joe? Devil Joe. And show some news on future updates. Additionally, the weapons from the DMC Monster Hunter event is a charge blade. Axe mode is a massive sword. The carve interrupts still occur, sadly, so I stick so the player try to get into a KF session.
Getting them KF sessions.
The carve interrupts. I haven't experienced this yet. I'm so sorry to people who get linked up with assholes in their gay.
It is heartbreaking.
Don't do that.
Here's the call I want to make right now. It's heartbreaking as the man in charge of the Kinda Funny squad in Monster Hunter that the squad limit is 50 players or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or is it 90?
I'm not sure.
Wait, it might be. Is it? It's whatever. It's either 50 guild cards or 50 squad players, and then what, the other's 90, 100. Doesn't matter. What I'm saying is the squad is full. So people jump on all the time in sessions. Can I get a squad invite? Can I get a squad invite? And I'm like, I can't. We're full up. If you join the squad but you never play anymore, please jump on and delete yourself. Because I do occasionally, when I see somebody who's like, Ryjack the other day was like, can I get, I'm like, you aren't in the squad? Fuck yeah, come on. And I went in there, I'm like, Andy Cortez, get the fuck out.
Get out of the squad, Andy.
You're not going to play this every game.
The last one from Malcontent Ronan. And who, is it a you're wrong, but a suggestion for Dizzy Dick. As a guy who also very much gets dizzy playing games, here are some suggestions. Get an eye exam. Even a slight prescription can be immensely helpful. Huh. You can then also get glasses with a digital tint, prescription or not. For PSVR, don't forget that pupil distance setting. Every bit helps.
That's really good. Okay, good job. Thanks for having real stuff. I'm just like, tough it out. Rub dirt on it. It'll eventually get better.
I'm like, just get drunk.
You're like, don't, get drunk or don't play anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. Tomorrow, Jared Petty, the Reverend, joins me here for 2 days in a row. We're milking him for everything he's worth for the Gamescast. Remember, if you want to see the second half of his gaming history, Tim is recording it tomorrow with Jared. It'll go up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames for everybody at that dollar level. Why not give us a buck? This episode was fun, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Remember, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Remember, you can watch live twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify. Andrew will be back Friday. And then this afternoon, we're playing some Monster Hunter.
I'm in.
All right, cool. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.